Amen. 4:3. As I sent out in the message, and most of you got, that tonight we'd be starting a new study, and introductions sometimes, I can spend weeks on the introductions, but it was like we closed out our study in Deuteronomy, and I just began to think about, I looked back through my notes and the recordings on the website, and how we've been through the book of Revelation, we've been through the Gospel of Luke, we've been through, Deuteronomy, we did a study in Titus. I mean, these things of Deuteronomy took over a year, and I didn't move as fast as I wanted, but I think it was, it wasn't a thorough study, but it was really just a lessons to learn from Deuteronomy. But as I look back over the years, that how many different books of the Bible, how many Bible studies we've done, and how that so many times I come to the end, it's like, gosh, what else is there to say? What else is there really to say? Sometimes it feels like that perhaps the subject matter isn't always relevant. As I mentioned a few Sundays ago, I threw this out there for everybody, announcing or letting everybody know that we were closing, or going to be closing our study in Deuteronomy, but for everybody to consider, the value and the fact that we have Bible study, and so many churches no longer have Bible studies because they say there's nobody comes is the best reason. That there's a lot of people have big churches have smaller home groups, but the big churches themselves don't gather all together for Bible studies. I don't see that. I don't know that. I don't go other places. I don't look into it. I just go with as the Lord leads. But kind of the question I threw out there was, I appreciate prayers, as to what we should study, and it needs to be relevant. I mean, it needs to have a value for us and to us. But I hadn't really pre-planned it, but the way it came out of my mouth was, what is it? And I'm looking for ideas, input, prayers, suggestions, whatever. But what could happen here on Wednesday nights that would cause, as a general question, not pointing anybody or anything out, that would cause you to cross out anything else on your calendar on Wednesday nights and put in Bible study? What would have to happen here? And I don't know that I really got any responses back from anyone. And I hope that question, maybe some of you heard it, some of you didn't, but that's the way I posed the question. And it just really, that's been coming back to me again and again. I'm not trying to be insulting or anything like that, but what is it? What would bring you and bring anyone here for a Bible study on Wednesday nights? Food? Okay. I've heard churches in the past, advertise in the paper. Come to church, we'll give you $10. And they had people show up, and a lot of it ended up back in the offering box. People recognize it for what it was. But, gosh, $10, $20, would that bring somebody here? Again, what would be the motive? What would be the drive? What would be the draw, perhaps, because I, oftentimes I feel I kind of operate in a bubble, because I don't get a lot of feedback, and I just go with what the Lord puts in my heart, and I feel that we're learning things, and I want to keep doing that. I don't want to be the next church to cancel Bible study, and if we can't find pertinence in the Word of God, in our lives, then it points to other issues. And I think it's also the times that we live in. It's not convenient to get out in the middle of the work week or whatever, at night, in the evening, when everybody's winding down, and go to a Bible study. So with that, leaving that behind, thank you for being here tonight. It's good to see you all here. And but I was seeking, you know, in the Lord as far to what to go into next, because sometimes he really surprises me how we jumped from Revelation to Deuteronomy, and done Old Testament and try to keep a balance there. And it's funny how they all kind of come together and really seem to shift from one to the other, and it makes absolute sense. But anyway, as I was praying and reading and meditating on what, I was just reading my Bible, and something stood out to me that I would like to hopefully make good sense out of and value out of, is that in all of Paul's epistles, and his be they to a church or churches or to individuals like Timothy or Titus or Philemon, pretty much there's one exception I found in Timothy, I believe, but in each one he has like an opening, a beginning, a kind of introduction, you know, Paul 2, like, well, tonight we'll hopefully get into Romans, but in Romans, he starts out, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And it's just an opening, a kind of introduction of himself, or just an opening to his epistle. But at the end of all but one, there's also a kind of a closing. And in these openings and closing, you know, Paul has a purpose in writing to each of these epistles. There are topics that he addresses, there are issues that he addresses, and there's doctrines that he reinforces and he teaches, that he introduces. But in these openings and closings, it's like I could see more of just Paul's personality. Just Paul the person. He isn't really trying to teach. He's speaking truth. He's revealing many, many wonderful things. He's invoking the interest and the character of the whoever he's writing the epistle to. There's lots of things going on that we just kind of skim through. It's like an introduction. You know, he's not really saying anything there, because the real meat of it is once you get in past that introduction, and then at the end he winds down, you know, greeting this person, greeting that person, and says different things. But in those, it's like Paul starts out as Paul saying hello, and then he gets down to work. He gets into the apostle mode, the teaching mode, the encouragement mode, the ministering mode, the pastoral mode. And then when he finishes that, he closes it out with, again, it's just kind of him, Paul. So I saw Paul peeking out of his epistles, peeking out and a little more of his personality and his what goes through Paul's mind about Paul. What goes through Paul's mind in more of a little bit of more of an informal way, but in a way that it reveals how he thinks about himself or how he thinks about the people. It's just more personable and I love his epistles and the teaching and his doctrine. But the introduction, so many times we just kind of breeze through and let's get down to what he wants to say. But when the part we breeze through, I could see Paul a little more clearly. I see Paul the person. Even though he's introducing himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and an apostle, that's how he thought about himself. That's who he was. And so keeping that in mind, that's what we're going to do. As far as I know, we might just go through in order, not chronological order, just start at Romans. But once I got into Romans, it was like, boy, this could take a long time. But I'll try and keep it, you know, fast-paced. But I think it really it's a side of Paul's epistles that I've never really looked at before. And that's what happens when we study Scripture and read the Bible. We're always seeing new things, fresh things, and different perspectives on the Word and on his epistles, and any time in the Bible, any place in the Bible. So tonight, let's go ahead and start with Romans. Read verses 1 through 7. Sometimes there's not really a clear break between the introduction and what he gets into, but I tried to find, to me, where it looked like there was this break, where he's shifting to focus, okay, on the Romans, rather than just the introduction. So we'll read verses 1 through 7 tonight in Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of the God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I did step into verse 7 there because he addresses Rome, but verse 8 says first. Okay, then he's starting on his points. He's starting on what he wants to talk to them about. So let's start and see how this flows, because what we see, I think, in these first 7 verses, one thing that we see is Paul tells us who he is. Not just his name, but we see Paul defined. And then we see he comes to Jesus. It's not just saying who Jesus is, but it's Jesus defined. And the third portion is not just referring to the Romans as believers, as Christians, but it's Christians defined. So he wants them to know who he is and who Jesus is and who they are. Before he starts teaching them things, that's one of the most important, really, really important things for us in Scripture. Especially, I'll emphasize Paul because, well, why do we need to know who Paul is? Because he is critical. He refers to this as his gospel in places, to the Romans and other places. But Paul is a critical, probably next to Jesus, the most critical character person in the New Testament. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He is the apostle to who even Peter said, the things that Paul says, they're hard to be understood. There's a lot of new stuff. There's a lot of meat on those bones, and it just takes a while for that to work in our system. Paul is really, and I think I've mentioned this before, Paul, in what he made clear and how he brought the Old Testament into the New Testament and spoke of the end of the Old Covenant and the beginning of the New Covenant and what that meant and what caused those things to happen. This wasn't just, the second chapter or the back half of the book, something completely, completely new. The old being fulfilled and no longer the covenant that God has established with mankind. And the new covenant being brand new, yet drawing its nurture, nature in the fulfilling of the old and blossoming into a full-blown display of the grace of God and the love of God. So going to verse 1, as we've studied before in Paul's epistles, that all of his epistles begin with his name, Paul, and each one ends with the word Amen. That's a commonality in all Paul's epistles. Some might say, well, what about Hebrews? Hebrews doesn't say, we don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews. It does not follow Paul's pattern, yet it follows Paul's teaching. And it's not unusual that he could have written it, but in writing epistles, as Paul even says himself, he says, here's the standard. I'm signing this myself. Here's my signature to this. He does not do that in Hebrews, so I'm not going to include Hebrews in this. But he starts out, Paul. You know, Paul was a new name for him. It was Saul. When God called Paul, he called him something different. I'm not going to go back in, you know, to Acts chapter 9, where his conversion took place. But you'll know, where you probably are familiar with it, where God said, you're no longer Saul, but you're Paul. Paul says, I'm Paul. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I am, by definition, by name, something new and different. And Paul means little. I'm not going to get into symbolism and all sorts of things, but he saw himself, and the name he was called was small or little. He said, in the scheme of things, I'm little. In the scheme of what God's done, I am little. And that's what, you know, just call me little. But this is the name God gave him, Paul. He says, next phrase, a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, he was Saul of Tarsus. But here he says, Paul. And who, you know, if somebody asks you, well, who are you? Well, my name's so-and-so. And a lot of times, you know, what do you do? Or what's your life about? You know, where do you work? And those sorts of things. He said, he fully identified himself to them. He said, a servant, and the word servant means a slave. Voluntary or involuntary, and there's both types. But a person in subservancy or subjection to another. This is how Paul saw himself. It was no longer Saul's life, or Paul's life even, but it's Paul, and I belong to this guy. I serve this guy. This is who I am. I am a slave. I'm in subjection to, even with my life, my energy, my service, what fills my days. I'm not the master of my own fate. I'm not Paul the homeowner or Paul the farmer or Paul the business owner. He said, I'm a servant. I'm subservient. A servant of Jesus the Christ, the anointed Savior. And that's who Paul was. He goes on, and I'll go on with that, but just to think about that for a moment. This is how Paul saw himself. This is Paul's personality poking through, laid right out in front of us. But that's who Paul saw himself as. This is what defined his life. This is what his life was all about. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior. Next phrase, he says, called, and I'm going to leave out the italicized words, called an apostle. The word called means invited or appointed. So he's appointed an apostle. The word apostle means a delegate, an ambassador, a commissioner. I am here as a servant, as a slave, in subjection to Jesus Christ. I was appointed by invitation to be a delegate, an ambassador, a commissioner. of Jesus Christ. Separated unto the gospel of God. The word separated means to be set off by a boundary. To be separated, literally separated away from other things. Other things. And that's a peek into sanctification. We are sanctified. You know, Jesus calls us that we're sanctified in him. We're made separated to eternal purposes and God's eternal will. But there's also sanctification at a practical level in this world where we separate ourselves from over-involvement in the things of the world because there's a certain boundary we get to where, you know, that's not where I should not go there. As Paul said another place, he said, you know, all things are lawful for me, but all things don't edify me. All things don't help me along the path and in the work that I do. I've been set off, but there's a line drawn. And I'm over here on this side. I'm separated by a boundary. But also separate, not separated necessarily from, but also separated to. I'd use the example of national boundaries, but that doesn't mean a lot, it seems, anymore. But in some countries it does. You know, here's a national boundary or a state boundary. You know, state, you use it that way, a state boundary, that if you live on that side of the road, your taxes go to a different purposes. But I live on this side, and my taxes go to purposes, other government and other programs and other things. We are separated by this boundary. But Paul really saw it as being set off by or a boundary, or there's a limit. There's a limit set. But he is separated to, unto the gospel, the good news, the heralded glorious message of God. Separated, stepping over that line unto the gospel, the good news that God has to share with the human race. And really just the good news of God in general. There are people struggling day upon day, hour upon hour, minute by minute sometimes, seeking purpose in being alive, seeking purpose in their days, seeking purpose, you know, bewailing the all the troubles in the world and all this sort of thing, and how are we going to fix the world? If we don't do something soon, the world's going to catch on fire, and we're going to destroy our only place we have to go. We have no place else to go. Worry about all these things, but God gives us, the good news is that there is a God who created this planet, who has, as we've talked about before, has regenerated this planet multiple times. It will do it yet again. And that's the kind of stuff that only a God can do. So he said, I'm separated unto the good news that there is a God, and this God loves us. And I'm here to be an ambassador, a commissioner, to carry out the details of this truth. You might think of a county commissioner. I'm a commissioner, I guess. A planning commission. And it's our job to mete out the rules and the regulations of planning and expansion of people's projects and the things they want to do, whether they can or they can't, and making exceptions, making way, and approving it or not approving it. And so Paul is called and appointed a delegate or a commissioner to, in a sense, to mete out the regulations, the truth, the proof, the love of God in the form of teaching, in representing God. Again, an ambassador. We're a little behind time-wise, so I'll keep going a little bit, but I'll probably not go full-time tonight. the full hour anyway. But he's separated unto the good news of God. As I mentioned earlier, you know, what would cause a person to cross out anything else on their calendar on Wednesday night and write in Bible study? And not that we can't hear the good news of God and the learn about God other places. But what would cause us to separate out? I'm not talking just one night a week, but Paul, his whole life, he saw himself as one that had been appointed to this role of a delegate or an ambassador representing and separated to the gospel, the good news of God. God has nothing but good news for this world right now. There is certainly lots of things that will take place that are bad for those who do not believe. And there is judgment for those that receive not Christ as their Savior. But what Paul's message was is about the gospel, the good news of God. We are not alone in this room. And we are not far from the spiritual presence of God at all. I spoke of that recently. He's right here. The words are in your mouth. The understanding, the leading is in your heart, is in all of our hearts. We are aware of the presence of God. And enjoy it. We are pleased, we are blessed. How much more blessed was Paul in all that he went through? He did not consider himself to be warranting any special favor at all. He worked harder. He gave more of himself than so many others. Because that's who Paul was. He is very much aware, as we are, that God is right here in us and with us. And we've crossed that boundary. There's a boundary set. We're separated unto God. We belong to God. We're children of God. So in this first sentence, Paul gives us a very, very clear understanding. If we just slow down and let these phrases and these descriptors soak in of who Paul was, what his personality was like, what drove him, what filled his heart and his mind. And we think about, again, compare it to when you meet somebody and you introduce yourself. We do it in different ways, and it depends on the circumstances. But if you're in a professional environment, a business environment, April, when you go up to somebody's door, you probably say, I don't know if you wear a uniform or anything like that, it lets people know who you are. You might say, "Hi, I'm April, I'm bringing your order," or "I'm whatever." You let them know who you are. That's important to them, for them to know. Paul was doing the same thing. Saying to the Romans, he'd never been there before. He'd never met these people. They had heard a lot about them. So he is introducing himself. He said, "Hi, my name's Paul. I'm of little importance. I'm just a little human being. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm in subjection to him and his will. He runs my life. I've been appointed to be a delegate, an ambassador of his. Separated, set off, I've been put in a place, separated for this. This is my work. This is my job. This is my message. to declare and make known the good news, this gospel of God. That's a big job. That's a lifelong job. He didn't say, well, and I, you know, I also, you know, people ask me, you know, I didn't introduce myself, and they say, well, who are you? And I'll tell them who I am, and you know, but I also, you know, I also do this, and I also do that. So they get a, my intent is to inform them of the background that I have that to be able to help them, they recognize that I have experience in helping people that are maybe terminally ill, in understanding of their needs and understanding of the Word of God. I'm a chaplain and I also pastor a church. I don't go and say, well, yeah, everybody's chicken, we sell eggs, and we, you know, all these other things. There's a limit to what you're revealing, but Paul's revealing what's important for the Romans to know. Who he is. And this is how he saw himself. This was his life. And just on into verse 2, to expand on that. Speaking of the gospel of God, which he had promised. And there's this phrase, had promised afore. It's only used one time in the New Testament. It means like what has been promised from old. So Paul, he was separated into the good news of God, which God had promised. And when you say from of old or olden times, in other words, from centuries and millennia ago, God had this nothing but good news for the human race. But he's promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul said, I'm telling you what they had to say. I'm here to present and represent God. And we'll get to that later, but we can say the same thing within the limits of God's calling in our lives. April, you go up and knock on the door and say, hi, I'm April. I'm here to bring your order and to encourage you to love God. Probably get in trouble for that, wouldn't you?
I tell everyone God bless you when I deliver their food. Yep. And you'd be surprised how many people are surprised and thank me in return.
Yep.
I guess some people are like, but.
Yeah. But you're telling them who you are and what's how you see yourself, especially at that time, in that moment, in that capacity. And that's what Paul's saying. But he said, this has been promised from old, the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets in the Holy Scriptures spoke of these same promises. And Paul's saying, and here it is my turn, in a sense. Here it is, now I am here to make those things known that God has promised good to whosoever believes. I think I'm going to stop there. It's a good stopping point, but we still have verses 3-7 to go. See, this could take a while, but not every, the one Romans is pretty extensive and pretty deep. Others are even longer. Some could take up the whole first chapter. But we'll try and focus on this thing of Paul's personality, what Paul is revealing in these things, the truth he's speaking of. So be prayerful regarding this study and that we'd see in it something of value to ourselves and practical in our own lives. So with that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the goodness and the mercy and the grace that is ours in such abundance through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, may we see ourselves as you see us. May we live out our lives as you live in us and through us. May we see that we are changed. We are no longer who we used to be, and we're called and we have this new life that you'd have us to live. This calling truly, to be your holy ones on earth. Father, bless us to our understanding. We just thank you, dear God, for keeping us, preserving us, for watching over us, and guiding us by the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that we might know the things we need to know. Let me give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.